What is up? First Down Football Podcast, back with it again. Today we're continuing our record predictions with the NFC East. So let's get
Let's
right
get
into
into
it.
it. Woo, we're back. You want me to go first with it, or you want to start it off this time?
I'll go first this time. So in first place, winning the NFC East, I have the Dallas Cowboys. I am going 11-6. I think the start of their schedule is a little tough. They open with the Bucks at home and then the Bengals at home as well. I have them losing those first games. Giants on Monday Night Football, I have them winning. Their divisional record, I have them going 5-1. I think they play very strong in their division. I mean, they traditionally do. They usually beat up on the Giants. They usually beat up on the Eagles. I have them splitting with the Eagles, but I have them sweeping the Giants and Commanders. They have a tough schedule early on, but I have them ending the year on a 5-game win streak, which propels them into first place in the division to go 11-6. In second place at 10-7, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles are a hard team to predict. Last year, they had a very poor record against good teams. And while they did have a really good offseason, bringing in key pieces like AJ Brown, Hassan Reddick, someone to get after the passer, Jaquiski Tartt, and James Bradberry, who's reportedly has had a very, very good camp, and it has been the best pickup they could have possibly brought in. I don't see many weaknesses to this team, but two big things that I look at when I'm predicting records is quarterback play and coaching, and those two things are just proven as of right now. So down the stretch of a season, when you get into November, when you get into December, those are big things to look at. So, I have them going into the bye week. I have them at, 5-1 going into the bye week. Very strong start. Down the stretch of the season, they hit a very, very difficult patch, on the road against Indy. I have them losing on a Monday night game. Carson has returned to Philly. So I have them losing that game to Washington, which starts a 4-game slide, which is followed by losing to the Colts on Green Bay and then Tennessee at home, as well as dropping one of the Cowboys and the Saints late, which drops them to a 10-7 record after a strong start. Down the stretch of a season, I know they brought in everyone. I know they brought in a lot of good pieces this offseason, but Jalen Hurts is still unproven. Nick Sirianni is still unproven as a coach. I know he got into the playoffs the first year, but they did not belong in those playoffs. Clearly, as you could see, they were demolished by the Tampa Bay Bucks, and just coaching and quarterbacks, they play a huge role. There's so many moving pieces, but one thing that stays consistent is if you keep a good coach and keep a good quarterback, your team's always alive. I mean, you all see it with the teams like the Chiefs. You saw it with the Patriots when they had Brady. No matter what situation that team was in, they were always going to be able to compete. The Steelers with Ben and Mike Tomlin, they were always competitive. That's just a big thing you look at. No matter what happens, you got to compete, and it always comes down to coaching and quarterback play. And it's just two question marks right now for Philly. So I have them going 10-7. I haven't filled out the rest of the playoff prediction, but I would imagine that has them looking at the 7 seed, maybe the 8 seed. It's 10-7, still a solid record. And, I know we were talking about this before. You said the Eagles have a very high ceiling, but they also have a low floor. So there's a lot of range with this team. But at the end of the day, I'm going 10-7. In third place at 7-10, I have the Washington Commanders. I have them starting out with teams against the Jaguars, Lions and Eagles, getting swept. Then they get swept by the Cowboys. Divisional wise, they go 3-3, kind of split. I have them splitting with, I have them sweeping the Giants, splitting with the Eagles, and getting swept by the Cowboys. They're the team actually a pretty tough schedule. I have them losing to the team. I have them losing to teams like the Cowboys, Titans, Packers, Colts, Vikings. I mean, Niners, Browns. They have a tough, tough schedule, especially for a team that finished third. You know, and then obviously they're Washington. Drop a few fluke games, like I have them losing to the Texans. But overall, they look like a completed team on paper. Their offensive line is solid. Quarterback play is definitely a question mark. You don't know what version of Carson Wentz you're going to get. Ron Rivera is a proven coach. He's been a very good coach for a long time. As well as, you know, the defense is big too. They have a top 10 defense, but they need that defense like it did 2 years ago if they want a chance to compete. But I have them going 7-10, and then in last place I have the Giants going 6-11. They're that could explode and be like the Bengals of last year, honestly. I mean, they have all the pieces. It rests on Daniel Jones, and they have a first year head coach, so I don't know how that's gonna work.
Sorry about that, guys. We were having some Wi-Fi technical difficulties, but now we're back and we're gonna be saying my predictions. So the team I have in first place of the NFC East is no one else other than the Dallas Cowboys. I have them starting off pretty slow with two losses in the first 2 weeks, losing to Tampa Bay, then Cincinnati, then getting two wins against Washington and New York, losing to the Rams. They have a tough schedule to start off, a lot of good teams to start off, which could scare a lot of people looking towards them, but their schedule does pick up as week six they play the Eagles, which is a win. I have them having an upset loss versus the Detroit Lions. I feel like they're going to be very good, and the Cowboys lose to them a couple games. I lose to them a game, beat the Cowboys the Bears the next week, lose to Green Bay and Minnesota, then win out for the rest of the season, going on a 7-game win streak to close out the regular season into the playoffs. I see Washington as a – I mean, not Washington, sorry. I see Dallas as a very strong team. They have so many options on offense. That defense is just going to get better. That Micah Parsons pick for them last year, I feel like solidifies them as a playoff team for a long time now. Because without him, their defense was very shaky. You know, they didn't really have a core to it. Leighton Van Der Esch used to be that, but he's really fallen off. Jalen Smith was also helpful there, but as you know, he's not good anymore. And with Micah Parsons being able to do so much in reaching to, he can play coverage, he can stop the run, he can rush the passer with so many different things. He fills all the gaps that defense has. And will make them a solid defense in the league. Nothing above average, in my opinion. Because other than him and Trevon Diggs, if you'd like to call him good, there's not really much else. DeMarcus Lawrence is all right, but nothing else really. Moving on to the Eagles. As Andrew said, they're a tough team to determine how they're going to do. I have them going 8-9, being second place in the division. It's a big thing with how Jalen Hurts is going to play. They made the playoffs last year. They didn't really play anyone too good. And so it's hard to determine how Jalen Hurts is or how good of a coach Nick Sirianni is. And it's just going to be this year is going to be a year when you really figure that out. If are they legit or was it just a fluke season because they played under 500 teams? I have them winning week one against Detroit, losing to the Minnesota Vikings, beating Washington week three, beating Jacksonville, and week four, losing to the Cardinals week five, losing to the Cowboys week six, losing to Pittsburgh week eight, winning against the Texans week nine, beating Washington week 10, losing to the Colts week 11, losing to Green Bay week 12, going on a 3-game win streak from week 13 to 15, beating the Titans, Giants, and Bears, losing to the Dallas Cowboys again at week 16. And then I have them, the Eagles losing week 17 and 18 to the Saints in a fluke game to the New York Giants. Looking at the Eagles, they have a loaded roster. Their team looks very solid. They've gotten a lot of new additions. Defensively, they got Jordan Davis. They got Kazir White. They got Hassan Reddick. They got so many people. James Bradbury. Jaquiski Tartt. A lot of good players there that fill the needs they have. But as you're saying, quarterback and coach are most important, and those are the two question marks on the team. Their O-line is very solid, very, very solid. Probably the best in the league, I'd have to say, them or the Browns. At the running back position, that's a big question mark I have, because there's been rumors around the league. Miles Sanders hasn't been very good, hasn't been performing as well, and is getting second-team reps, third-team reps, which I can see. He was very promising to start off his career, but he's kind of slowed down recently, so I can see that happening. It's very hard to predict with the running backs. One year they could be, you know, top 10 worthy. Next year they just fall off out of nowhere. It's very difficult to predict. Moving on to the team I have in third place in the division is Washington. I have them going 7-10. Week one, they are gonna lose to start off the first five games. They're gonna start 0-5. I have them losing to Jacksonville, Detroit, Eagles, Cowboys, Tennessee. They get their first win week six on Thursday night against the Bears. Beat Green Bay on week seven. Lose to the Colts week eight. Beat the Vikings week nine. Lose to the Eagles week 10. 11 beat. And then after that, they will go on a four-game win streak from week 11 to 15. They have a bye week 14, but I have them beating the Texans, the Falcons, the Giants, and the Giants again, losing to the 49ers week 16, or losing out the rest of the season 16-18 with the Cowboys, the Browns, and the 49ers. Washington is another difficult team to predict as a result of them getting a new quarterback. Carson Wentz. We've seen how he plays. When we saw his last year at Washington, that was not pretty at all. Last year in Philadelphia. That was a not pretty season at all. Very lackluster. He looked terrible. Went to the Colts. He looked very strong there. Looked like a pretty good quarterback. Until he couldn't beat the Jaguars. The team with the number one overall pick. I don't understand how that happens. But after that, he was traded out to Washington. Washington has a lot of weapons for him. There's been good rumors that who's the receiver they drafted in the first round? Jahan Dotson's been doing extremely well, I've heard, making good catches. Some training camp clips have shown that. They obviously re-signed Terry McLaurin. A lot of weapons. But for this team, I just feel like their offense isn't enough to put them over the hump. And for them to make the playoffs, they're going to need a top like eight defense. Something where the offense would only need to score like 15 points a game or whatever. It would be not too many touchdowns, because I don't see the offense being very good. But I don't see the defense being – they're going to be pretty good, obviously. They're going to be a top 15 defense. I just don't see them being as good of a defense where they can carry them to the postseason. But, you know, you never know. That D-line is very scary. Linebacking core, there's a couple holes there. Secondary is pretty good, too. Lastly, I have the New York Giants going 4-13.
Wow.
I'm not a fan of Danny Dimes. I think this is going to be his last season as a starting quarterback. Tyrod Taylor is going to get the start, and it's not going to be Danny Dimes' team anymore. To start off their season, I have them starting off 0-3, losing to the Titans, Panthers, and Cowboys, winning week 4 against the Bears. Going to go on another 3-game losing streak from week 5 to week 7, losing to Green Bay, Baltimore, and then the Jaguars. Winning week 8 versus Seattle. And then from I have them winning week 10 against the Texans. And then they are going to go on
another losing streak
all the way from week 11 to week 17,
losing to Detroit, Cowboys, Washington twice, Eagles, Vikings,
and the Colts. And I have them
pulling a last game upset versus the Eagles.
The Giants, it's difficult to say what type of
team they are.
It's not like they're
all young. They do have some veteran players on there.
But the thing is, I just don't – their O-line is it's just so not good. Like, Andrew Thomas is
finally starting to look like a decent tackle. They picked up Mark Lewinsky from the Colts, but
they have no one at
that left guard position. Evan Neal's at that right guard in the center. That position's open.
Well, the Giants' offensive line is pretty good, and they're pretty good on paper. I mean, like you mentioned, Andrew Thomas, they have John Feliciano from the Bills. Like you mentioned, Mark Lewinsky from the Colts. Evan Neal will be playing right tackle, most likely. Center position, I believe they have Nick Gates, if I'm not mistaken. So they have a solid offensive line. But like you said, they're just like in a weird period right now because they're ready to compete, but they don't have a quarterback.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
And Nick Gates is out right now. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I am not too high
on Andrew Thomas.
I like Evan Neal. I felt
that was the best pick they could make at the position.
But Andrew Thomas, I'm not a big fan of. Tight end, Evan Ingram wasn't
helping them too much. So now they have Ricky Seals-Jones.
Wide receiving
core. This is going to be a big year for Tony, Kadarius Tony. I don't know what happened to Kenny Galladay. He just fell off the side of the earth.
I know, he's getting paid $17 million. It's like not play.
I also –
Wandale Robinson's going to be good, I feel. He out of training camp as well. There's been a lot of
good things heard from him. On the defensive side,
they got Kayvon Thibodeau, who I'm pretty – high on. He's going to be a good pass rusher for them. Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence.
But on the defensive side,
I feel like it's going to be a pretty mediocre defense. Just
not good enough anywhere. They obviously have Vadori
Jackson. Xavier McKinney's going to have a good year.
Give me a second. What's his name? Darnay Holmes.
He's another cornerback who has been good in training camp. There's been rumors that he's been playing really well and he could get the starting spot at that other corner after they lost Bradbury.
Linebacker is they have a couple good
linebackers, obviously. They have, I think,
the duo of
Aziz Ojulari and Kayvon Thibodeau at both edges. That's going to be very good.
Yeah, I agree. They have young edges, but they, you know, they just need the production now.
Yeah, like, it's, you need, with that, like, older players
usually come with production, obviously.
They're going to be more, you know, predictable in how much
they're going to produce. You can tell, I mean, predictable in how much they're going to produce. You can tell. With younger guys,
it's either Kayvon Thibodeau has 10 sacks and has, or 15, you know.
He's going to have an amazing year when DPOY, which I do think he will win DPOY. I mean, not DPOY. Rookie Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, because you bet on him. But
I did. Here we go.
Kayvon. But
the consistency thing
is going to be a problem with younger players. Like Aziz Ojulari, he did have flashes last year. Looked very good. So did Xavier McKinney. the consistency part is what they're missing. And that's what you need on playoff teams or teams who are going to get good wins.
But I'm, it's true.
I think this is going to be a good team to watch. There's going to be some players who break out over here, and they're going to be good in the coming years with that defense. But the things they need to address is that QB position and what they're going to do with Saquon Barkley and if he's going to be healthy.
Yeah, I would compare this team to the Lions of last year. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to be a gritty team. But when all is said and done, you know, winning games is going to be the hard part. I think they're like a team that's, you know, a couple of years away from competing at a high level. But, I mean, they have a very solid roster. They have a young roster. They have an explosive roster. I mean, you look at their wide receiving core. You know, when you have Wandale Robinson and Kadarius Toney on the same wide receiving core, you know, that's always going to be a fun team to watch. Along with Saquon Barkley being fully healthy, the healthiest he's been since his rookie year, where he had 2,000 all-purpose yards, 1,000 yards after contact. You know, I mean, this is going to be a really fun team to watch, especially when you hire the head coach who just had the best offense in the league last year, Brian Daboll. This is going to be a really fun team to watch, but like you said, just a couple of years away.
For the receiver, so that's a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
In Daboll's system, he had someone who could sling it, absolutely huck it to any receiver, and he could get those down-the-field throws, you know? Like, he could get it anywhere on the field he wanted to. If you wanted him to throw it 50 yards down the field to whatever receiver, he could get it. Daniel Jones does not have that same consistency or arm talent.
Like, I mean, he had Kenny Golladay, one of the
top red zone threats in the league.
It was just no production to Kenny Golladay at all.
You think
with a jump ball guy. But he just
didn't get the ball. Like, you would think you could just toss it up to him
and he'd catch it, but Kenny Golladay was injured a lot of the year. I think he only played like 9 or 10 games, but
still.
Yeah. And he just wasn't very prominent in the offense. And while that may change this year, I think, you know, it's, I mean, obviously it's going to be a telling year for Daniel Jones. He's playing on his fourth year of his rookie contract. They declined his fifth-year option. They're going to be in a position where they could potentially, you know, get a quarterback. And they have Tyrod Taylor behind him, who, if you think, you know, you're a quarterback away from being there, a game manager away from, you know, competing, they may just go to Tyrod. But so far everything from camp has been pointing to the signs that everyone's confident in Daniel Jones. They're going to see what he can do. They like his mobility, and they like, you know, his smarts from the quarterback position, but we'll see, you know, how it all plays out. We'll see how they really construct this offense around Daniel Jones. You know, and we'll see what happens, but as of right now, you know, based on what we've seen, you can't put any stock into Daniel Jones performing at a high level.
I'm very strong in Dable, though. I think he's going to be a good head coach in this league. He just, you wait a year, there's so many prospects in this, in college right now, who could be a quarterback. You look at Will Levis, you look at, Bryce Young. Spencer Rattler, if he plays well, but you don't know with him.
I know Caleb Williams
isn't eligible. He's going to be a sophomore. Is Daniels eligible?
Way past eligible. He's like a 6-year senior. But like Stroud, underrated is Devin Leary from NC State. People in the, you know, scouting department are high on him. But Graham, you know, Mertz.
I'm a fan of Graham Mertz out of Wisconsin. He's a beast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll have some draft coverage coming up soon, but yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, obviously it's hard to talk about. Obviously this division's not, you know, as controversial as our last one that we did, the AFC East. Because, you know, it's kind of like you have your two teams and then you have your two teams, you know, the Cowboys and Eagles are going to be competing for the top spot. Then you have, you know, Washington, and then you have the Giants. That's how it mostly looks for everybody right now. So, you know, I know we had the same order, so, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, there's a lot to be determined, but as of right now, you know, I think this is how everyone kind of has the NFC East going.
We've got some preseason games, though, coming up on Thursday, which is like, because we're going to, with that, we're going to see ETN play, which he's, there's been rumors he's been looking very strong. Trevor Lawrence, finally not going to have a black hole head coach.
James Robinson is not on the pup list either, so.
The Raiders going to play. We're going to see a little bit of Davante Adams. Obviously, you don't want him to get injured.
No, they won't. They won't play him.
No?
No. I mean, it's a Hall of Fame game. They're not going to play him at all. They'll play, the offensive line for the Raiders. I don't think he dresses, no. I think, you know, I mean, just looking at, you know, the main thing for the Raiders is the offensive line. That's going to be the big competition, you know. Reports from camp is that, I forget the guy's name, but he was undrafted last year from Alabama. He's been playing, he's been running with the ones at guard. And Al Leatherwood has been running with the threes, so the offensive line is going to be a big thing for the Raiders. Obviously, they don't have any new and exciting draft picks because, you know, they traded it all for Davante Adams. But Trevon Walker is going to be a big storyline. Reports from camp is that he's a beast and that, you know, he's everything that they thought he would be. So it'll be cool to see him in gameplay action. I know in draft process you weren't very high on him, but I like him a lot. I like his get to see that on display for a couple drives, and it should be good.
Lester Cotton Sr.
Yes, that's him.
I've never heard of him, but geez, he's 26 and this is his first season. Has he been doing good in camp, apparently?
That's what I've heard. He's running with the ones, so.
Yeah, Leatherwood, I was never high on him. Everyone knows certain stuff flies in college. Once you get to the NFL, everyone is athletic. Everyone is insanely strong. And Leatherwood just was played so heavily on his height and his build. Where he was just like, you're not getting past me. It would just use all that big body weight. What was he, 380, like 6'8"? He's a big guy. In the NFL,
he was.
Sorry, he runs in 6'5", 312.
Nope. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Didn't work.
Yeah. But that's our NFC East predictions. We'll be back later in the week. I know we want to do some draft rankings before the college football season. As well as, you know, storylines, obviously the preseason coming up, the kind of previews to each week in preseason, what to look for in watching the games, as well as reactions from the preseason games. And we'll obviously continue to go through the divisions, and we'll push out a complete playoff prediction before the beginning of the season. So a lot to look forward to on the podcast, especially, you know, coming up. We're going to be pushing out almost 3 episodes a week, so there'll be a lot here, and should be good. A lot of content coming out, so we're excited.
Thank you, guys. See you next time.
Peace.